In this episode, I talk with Roma, who is an up-and-coming music artist on the EDM scene. He is known as Odious Love in the industry. We break it down when it comes to chasing your dreams, the people you need to surround yourself with, failure, being hungry, and his EP that's dropping this week. This guy is super talented and has an unbelievable mindset about attacking his goals. I'm super excited to see how his future plays out and the music he comes out with.
We ain't playing with heart, my body and soul, I need your heart, my body and soul. Heart, my body and soul, I need your heart, my body and soul. Now let's go, let's go. Vibe with it, ride with it, let's go, let's go. Vibe with it, ride with it, let's go. Get jiggy, vibe with it, let's go, let's go. Now let's go, let's go. Someone bless me, I got the holy water. Feel it through your body, yo, medulla, I've been got it. Baby, feel the bounce, I got it from my mama.
What's up, man? How's it going, man? Your music bangs.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, Patrick, he's like, dude, go check it out. Send me the link. And I checked it out. I'm like, wow, dude, this guy knows music. It was unbelievable.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it. Yeah. What happened to your Chicago Bears, man?
Dude, I'm wearing a Bears sweatshirt right now. And, dude, it was rough, man. I need to see a therapist.
Oh, my God. Yeah. We were watching, like, everybody in Canada was watching that game. And we're like, wow, the Bears are going to pull this off.
That's what it looked like. It looked like we were going to win the Super Bowl after that first half.
That is very true. Yeah. Everybody actually, Canadians don't know what's going on in NFL. And they're like, wow, why does everybody say the Bears suck? They're actually really, really good.
Yeah, they looked like the best team in the league. Who do you watch?
I just watch anybody that plays. But obviously, we're all Patriots fans just because, like, it's the most recognizable brand.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, Patriots.
That hurts, man. That hurts.
It did. It was a rough one.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks for jumping on. I want to get to know you. I know you have an EP dropping later this week, right? And I want to, you know, figure out what drives you, what gets you going, what motivates you, you know? So who is, you know, Odious Love?
It's a good question. I don't know. It really came out of nowhere to have the name Odious Love. It was mainly because a lot of my music that I would write back in the days was very, very dark. And like, if somebody read the poetry that was written, it was like, man, what happened to you? You know, like, who broke your heart? But it was just something that was coming off as natural. So writing poetry, like dark poetry, just comes extremely, extremely naturally. And every time I make a track, I'm unable to make a happy track. So that's where the name Odious Love came out of, because it was always, odious means like the most repugnant and the most disgusting, and then love. So it was like the yin and yang of having love and having the most disgusting part of it. And it just stuck. Everybody liked the name, and I was like, okay, I'll keep that one.
I love it. Name's great. But I feel like your beats, the beats of your music, even though the lyrics and the people you have singing, maybe that's a little darker, it's not as happy, but the beats are happy beats to me, I feel like. What's your take on that?
Well, recently I started doing happier beats, to be honest. If you heard like the EP I was going to drop before, it was a lot darker. And we do have an EP that's a little bit darker that's going to be dropping with a guy named Congas. And it's my producing partner. And it's a very, very different take on EDM. So we're trying to change a little bit on how the EDM approach is going to be. But we're trying to make dark EDM, which we've looked around. It's kind of been done a little bit here and there, but never actually, like, let's try to go commercial with it. So that's something we're working on. But the manager that's guiding us through the process, he advised against dropping that EP first because he said that our commercial music is really good and we should keep pushing that. And once we're at the top, then we can drop some artistic stuff, maybe in the underground, maybe just to cater to the artistic community. And that's the road we went with. And commercial music, I think it just went very natural. I think I hear music and it just, if it makes sense, I put it on. And if it doesn't, I mean, I had no musical training too. So everything's really, really done by ear.
That's unbelievable to hear. Cause when I'm listening to this music, I'm like, this guy is an artist. He knows what he's doing. Like, I feel like you've been doing this type of music for so long. And when I picture your music, especially the most recent one that you had with an Endlessly, I believe was the,
yeah,
and the promo, and the promo. Yeah, it was, yeah. I'm like, damn, like, I envision just, like, people having fun, you know, like, starting their day off, like, in a sunny area, you know, like, by the beach, just tackle the day. And it was, I don't know, I get really good vibes from it. And so is that kind of the route that you guys are going towards then?
No, we're going to make a remake of Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, that's nice.
So it'll be like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde relationship.
That's awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah, that doesn't end well.
No, that's very true. Sad. But they had a hell of a run.
They did. And I like that about them. It's nice and grimy, so I love it. But in terms of Endlessly, Endlessly was never released, and I'm not even included it in the EP, just because that's one of those tracks that when I did it overnight, and it was an accident. And that's when I think Endlessly was very pivotal of when the sound changed. As soon as I did Endlessly, I was like, oh, that's how you do commercial music. And then everything changed after Endlessly. So I'm keeping Endlessly on the side to do something very special with it, visually. And want to spend a good amount of time because it did help me in music in terms of developing how I produce as a musician.
So you said that you used to do more dark music, and then you transitioned to this kind of new approach. Why were you creating dark music to start out with? You said you just felt a connection to that at first?
It just happened naturally. There's no real explanation. It's just anytime I would write, it's always about sad things. And my production partner once asked me this, and this was very, 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 very interesting-ish. His girlfriend, he makes beats that are extremely radio-friendly, extremely happy, you know, tropical house, all of this stuff. And he lives in Venezuela. So in Venezuela, it's really, really like it's a disaster there right now. So it's not always happy. He's always very, very in a dark moment. You know, every time he goes outside, he doesn't know what's going to happen, et cetera, et cetera. But he produces amazingly radio-friendly, happy beats. And then when he heard my music, he saw that it was very like dark and unhappy and all that. So he asked me this question. He said, hey, man, are you happy in life? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. He goes, well, maybe that's why you do dark music, because it kind of balances it out. I was like, oh, that's dark.
Yeah, that is really dark. I mean, I never really thought about that. I always felt like when you're creating music or movies or any kind of, you know, entertainment for the masses, sometimes it just comes, you know, what feels natural to you. You know, I feel like a lot of Eminem, for example, like made a career out of it, you know, just insulting everyone and just letting out his demons.
Eminem is a perfect example of music being therapy. He did let go, like you say, he let go of his demons. He wrote everything that he's living through, and it worked because it's genuine. And I think you make it in this industry and as an artist in general, if you're 100% genuine as an artist. If you try to fake it, let's say if you try to create music that's not really you and you're not giving a little bit of yourself in that track, you're not really, it'll come across somehow, you know, people will catch on to it. It'll differentiate you as well from who is different and who is not. So if you keep creating the same music over and over as everybody else, you're not really different. You're not bringing much to the table. And Martin Garrix and a bunch of other guys, they always preach that the only advice that they can give to people coming into the EDM scene is be different. Be yourself. Don't copy people. Just be what do you feel is good as music. Because it's all subjective at the end of the day. It's what I like, you might not like, and vice versa. And if you're creating music, you should be creating what you like to hear, because that'll be your stamp and your brand. Obviously, if it sucks, don't do it, you know? But initially in music, it should really be about who you are and what you can tell your people and what they can hear from you. And just like Eminem, you know, hey, here's my story. You guys like it? And everybody loved it.
Yeah, I would even go as far and say with whatever you do in life, you do need to be different. You know, when I'm doing this Alpha Omnia thing, I'm trying to be as different as possible, because if you're just the same like everyone else, there's so many people out there that try coming up with the same products that already exist, or the same companies or the same mindsets. And if that already exists, they already have a following. You're trying to steal a little bit of their market share. You know, that's never going to happen. And they have such a lead on you. You 100% have to be original. You have to, and you have to enjoy it, like you said, because it's such a long process. And
yeah,
it's a
absolutely
huge journey. And if you don't enjoy the process, and if you don't like what you're doing, you're not going to want to get up early in the morning, stay up late at night, put the work in. So I agree. You have to be original. You have to be yourself and, you know, just take it from there and just put the time in and, you know, hopefully everything works out.
Exactly. Yeah, man. And you're right on the money on that. It's a hard work and you have to enjoy it. That's, I think, the number one thing that in anything you do in life, whether you're, you know, any career, it's, I think it's, well, my theory in life would be, was this, is that if I'm going to be broke doing what I love, I'm probably going to be way more happy than if I was rich and doing something I hate. And you see a lot of people that are doing a career and that are making good money, but they're not happy with what they're doing. So every time they get a day off or they get a vacation or whatever it is, they unwind there. They feel good at that moment. That's their moment of happiness. And then they go back to work and then they're unhappy again.
Yeah. So the weekend warriors.
Yeah, exactly. And it sucks. You know, it's like, you shouldn't be like that. I think maybe it's the way the society is or whatever it is, but I think it's, everybody has a choice of choosing what they really want to do. Sometimes people say like, well, no, that's not true, but I disagree. I think that talking from experience, I quit a stable 9-to-5 job to do music and I had no idea how to play piano. I had no idea how to do music production. I didn't know how to use the software. I had no idea of that. And the work ethic was that I would wake up in the morning and I would do 16-to-18-hour day, sometimes even overnight, and do 3 days straight of making music and then just passing out all day and doing it again because you get addicted to the process. And then once you start loving it, it's like going to the gym. You know, once you start going to the gym regularly and long enough, you'll see results. And once you see results, you're like, oh, you know, I got abs. But you don't get abs by just sitting and doing nothing. You actually got to get up and do the work. And I think that applies to everything you do in life. If you believe in it, you like it, do the work and it'll pay off. It's impossible that it doesn't.
Yeah. And it's going to be a lot of work. It's not an overnight thing. It takes years and years, you know, of just grinding, hustling, just perfecting your craft, you know, and going back to what you said, how, you know, people don't really chase their dreams. They don't do what they really want to do. I think that's because people love comfort. They're afraid of risk. They just want to, you know, if they're happy, they're happy. That's great. But so many people don't want to take the risk of, like you said, you quit your job. I did the same thing. I quit my job too. I really want to pursue this. I have a passion for it. I really want to do it. And I don't see living my life any other way. But some people don't want to. I almost wish that, you know, for 2 months out of your life, you have to commit to doing something completely different than you're used to doing, than from the norm, and just see how you're experiencing it and like it. Like for now, for example, I can't tell you how much I love what I'm doing right now. Just talking to people, helping people, writing up content, started this podcast, interviewing great people like you and Patrick, and just, you know, just meeting great people. I'm like, damn, I can't believe I didn't start this sooner. I wish I started years ago, you know, but
yeah.
It takes time to figure it out, to realize it, to learn where you're coming from.
Of course, yeah, I agree. I agree with that 100%. And you're on the money with comfort zone. I feel like you know exactly what it is, and you're living the same journey as, you know, Pat had, I had, and millions of other people had. But I add to that in that, yeah, some people do feel that they're in the comfort zone. They don't want to leave the comfort zone. There's a lot of, I was victim of that too when I was younger. It's, you know, when you want to do something, you have a dream and you're like, okay, I want to become a millionaire, let's say, but what are you doing to become that? So just saying it is not enough. You actually have to do it. And when you start doing the little steps towards it, it kind of gets scary because you don't know where you're going. And then you just kind of stop and it disappears. You never talk about it again. And then you come up with another idea and again, the same thing. And then you try to portray yourself as, I'm such a smart individual because I have all these ideas, but millions of people have ideas. The difference is who takes that leap. And that's what I learned. The first time I took that leap and I got nowhere, actually. I failed, but it taught me a lot. And what I learned from that was priceless. And pushing that, like doing that type of exercise every single time that you make a project, is that I'm not going to just finish the, like, let the project go. I'll go through with the project, do the hard work that it requires. And then when I'm almost there, I'm going to take the leap. That's the scary leap. Which is in music, let's say right now, is going into the majors. So now we're going to do radio and we're going to be working with Glenn Morrison and all these stuff. That's a big step for us. And some people get scared of that. They self-sabotage themselves. They start blaming other people about, oh, no, I didn't do this because of that. I didn't do this because of that. And there was a lot of people in our entourage that were like that. And we had to kind of, you kind of have to cut them off, I think. If I can say any bad advice, it'd probably be that, you know, like cut off the, it sucks. Even if it's your friends, you know, you got to, at one point, man, you got to be on the same wavelength. And if you notice that somebody's not there at all and you're just dragging it and the person just wants nothing to do with it, even though they say, yeah, yeah, this is what I want to do in life. And you see that it's not, you got to cut them off. And it's the hardest thing to do. But
yeah, that's what I hear that all the time. You know, people always say you're most like the five people you hang out with the most. You know, if you want something in life, if you want to achieve something, you need to be hanging out with the people that have accomplished what you're trying to accomplish or are on the journey to accomplishing what you guys, you know, want to do. And it sucks that sometimes it might be your best friend, it might be your mom, it might be your dad, and you might just have to let them go. And that's just, you know, how it is. I hear that all the time, too, from, you know, many people, not just, you know, this isn't like a new thing. Mm-hmm. People say that all the time. You know, hang out with winners, not losers. And
yeah,
going back to what you said about failure, failure is the best teacher. There's nothing better than that, you know. And especially when you're broke as hell, you got no money, and you failed. Yeah. Like that's when life hits you hard.
Absolutely, and it sucks that it's like that. Like sometimes I also tell myself, like, wow, if I wasn't hungry, I probably wouldn't have done all that. And I hate that, you know. So I kind of feel. Poverty is probably a blessing for myself. I know for Patrick as well. Like when he's hungry, he succeeded, and it did. Poverty did push us to succeed, but it sucks that it's like that. I hate that about myself. You know, like why do I have to be broke to do something?
Yeah, I hate that too. Like, why do I have to be so broke and miserable to be motivated? Like, why can't I be like motivated at the top? But they say that about art, especially artists and comedians. They say like. You can't become a good comedian if you're comfortable. Like you need to be in a terrible setting. You need to be poor. You need to be eating shit. You know, you need to be grinding, working 2-3 jobs and doing shows in the afternoon and night, whatever you can. Otherwise, if you're comfortable, like you're in your comfort zone, and whatnot, and no creativity comes from that. And I think people resonate more with struggle, and you can connect more with people through struggle.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Very true. Because I think the majority of people struggle.
Yeah.
And they like to hear those songs. Like Alex Rodriguez, the guy that was famous in Not a Country, he had no idea. His music resonated to an entire continent and people were like, you know, this guy. And he had no idea he was famous for the longest time. I think, I don't remember how many years, there was a documentary about it called Looking for Sugar Man, I think, or something like that. But
I'll have to check it out. Looking for sugar,
it's an amazing story. It's this guy that was famous and he had no idea. And all his life he worked in construction and he just did he did the most amazing music. It was during the Beatles time. He wrote almost the same as the Beatles, sang, played music just the same. You got to see it. It's really amazing story.
Is it on Netflix or Google or Amazon?
It was on Netflix. I think it was on Netflix when I saw it. I don't know where it is now, but it's 100% worth the watch.
Yeah. I'm
and people, when they go see, check it out. I'll send you also the link if I find it. And people, when he comes around like to your city, a lot of people come and see him now because he's still a good musician. He's really old right now. But they come to pay respects and be like, yo, you deserve this. I saw him here in Montreal once, and it was really nice that people came around to see him. And they sang his songs and everything. They make him feel real good. And that's amazing.
He sounds like a living legend. Struggle. Yeah, that's 100% it. Yeah, it's connecting to the struggle. Tell me about this album then that's coming up. The EP, it's coming out at the end of this week, right?
Yeah, so we're going to do the EP. The EP was... the EP is a little bit more of a personal touch to it. I really wanted to drop the first thing to be a little bit of me, you know, as we were talking about, to give something that's part of me. And in there, I play around with a little bit of darkness, a little bit of radio, trying to make something interesting and bringing something new to the table. But I think most importantly is that I'm satisfied with the work. And I think that EP is 100% me. There's nobody else on it except for my own mentality. So it makes me feel good that I'm dropping something that is something that I preach, which is be different, be yourself.
Yeah, and the music is great, and I can't wait for it to drop. I'm going to, you know, send it out to my friends too, put it on my playlist that I listen to all the time, because when I was listening to stuff, it was just, I literally listened to like the first 10, 15 seconds of it, and I'm like, wow, this stuff is unbelievable. I'm excited for it to come out. It's going to be, I'm excited for you, for Patrick. I'm excited to see what happens with this. What is the EDM crowd like in Canada right now?
I'm not 100% sure because I've been hiding in my cocoon producing and learning. So I haven't done any shows. I haven't went out there and trying to pursue anything. And I don't think EDM is very big in Montreal per se, but I know it's massive in Toronto. Most of the contacts and the people in the majors that I've met are from Toronto. I know EDM is really, really big over there. That's for sure. And I have already shows lined up if I want to, if I drop my EDM EP, which we're working on with Congas. That one, there's shows out there. There's things to do for sure. But we're trying to make it more into a major label world. And that's where we're working with guys like Glenn. We have Patrice, who's a mentor and leading us to show us how everything's being done in this game. And he manages Domino and a bunch of other artists. There's Naya Ali, that's part of his crew, which is she's an amazing artist, actually. If you ever get a chance to listen to her, she's really, really, really talented. I think she's definitely going to be blowing up. And I had the honor to do one of her tracks as well.
What's her name? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, Naya Ali.
Naya.
She's an up-and-comer. Yeah, Naya Ali.
Ali.
Really, really good artist. And in Montreal, I don't know, man. In Montreal, there was a guy named, there's a band that was named Mazine back in the days. And in high school, I used to listen to them religiously, actually. And I used to break dance. I suck at it, but I was, you know, that's the music I would break dance to. And what was funny is that after I met Patrick, he was like, oh, man, somebody heard your beats. I'd like to introduce you to somebody. And I was like, okay, cool. And this is like years later. And so we're riding in the car and we're talking about, it was French rap back in the days. So we're talking about French rap and this and that. And then he goes, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I used to like this song and this song and this song. And I introduce him to the songs that I like. And he's like, yeah, that's the guy we're going to see.
No like, way. That must have been awesome. Yeah.
That was awesome, man. And this guy is, his name is Impulse. And he's hands down one of the most talented individuals that I know, most rational individuals that I know. And I learned a lot from him as well. He just knows music. Like if you think that I know music, like this guy knows music.
Impav, I'm going to check him out too. Damn. Yeah. It sounds like you guys have a really solid crew up there.
Yeah, man. And it's honestly massive, massive thanks to Patrick, man. Like Patrick is just knows how to find people and people, you know, talk with him because he's professional. He knows what he's doing and he has an ear for talent and an eye for it. So when he sees something good, he connects them.
Yeah,
and,
that's great.
He did the same with me. He brought me there and all the people. Absolutely. And he's actually now my manager just because he's so good at this.
That's what he was saying.
And he's managing everything. And yeah, he does the visuals. He manages. I basically just give him all the dirty work and he loves it.
And he just grinds it out. Yeah, give me more. And that's what you need. That's awesome. You need people like that. But I want to kind of talk about, you said you have a mentor and kind of helping you out with the music. How did that relationship begin? Because I know a lot of people say that find a mentor to help you show you the ropes and do all this stuff for you. How did you find a mentor? How were you introduced? And like, how does that benefit you?
Well, the mentor thing is kind of very fresh-ish. So I'll tell you how we met with him. How we met with him was that one of my best friends was like a brother to me. He introduced me to this guy that was in the music industry. I'm not going to name names because it's like, I'll just name one name, which is a nice guy. This guy who claimed that he was in the music industry, claims that he did a bunch of stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So we were like, okay, you know, interesting. Let's meet with you and see where we can go. And when we met with him, it was very like, you know, you're meeting with a greasy car salesman. And I was like, man, this guy's really not rubbing me the right way. And, as we went on, like, I think we spent 3 more days with this guy, and I was like, you know what, I'm not doing any business with this guy. Something's really, really off, and nothing makes sense. So what I did instead is that I started looking at, it was a record made by Glenn Morrison. So he claimed that he did it and this and that and that, and the artist that, you know, he said he managed. But on the record, it says Glenn Morrison. So I'm like, let me find this guy. So I went around and I Googled around all these websites, and he had like 5 record labels and a mixing and mastering website. And I just messaged this mixing and mastering website because I figured mixing and mastering is a business. So if anybody messages there, they're probably going to respond, you know? And send them a message like, hey, man, here's the situation. We're working with this guy. I think he's not cool, but, you know, I'd like your input. He's claiming that he did this, that, 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 that. What are your thoughts? And I'm not going to get into the details of what he thinks about the guy, but he was more than happy to do a Skype interview with us. And the mentorship kind of started from there, man. He really appreciated us. And he was like, man, thanks for reaching out. You know, great that you messaged me. And from then on, he heard our music. He loved it. And now he's guiding me into the majors. So he's showing me what needs to be done, what kind of music needs to be done, the connections. He also wants me to do not what everybody else does. He enjoys that. I do my own thing. And hard work and being a good person is also massive for him, because he's been in the industry for so long that there's a lot of people that are, you know, sleazy and trying to always steal here and there and not give you credits for certain things, et cetera, et cetera. So he's done with that. But he's mentoring me into that. He's making me sure that my music is released properly. He makes sure that the deals that we sign are not garbage, and that it's not a one-way street, that it's always fair, not that it's always, you know, not one-sided, always needs to be fair. In terms of shows, whenever we're ready with a set, shows is no problem. We can do shows left and right, but it's more right now, I think, for all of us, we're concentrating on creating something new and creating something fresh for the public. Because shows we can do anytime. If I want to be a DJ, I can do that. It's just, you know, take a couple of tracks, go to a show, and spin some records, you know?
Yeah, as though you're working on your craft right now and, you know, getting music, and then, yeah, then you can go do whatever you want from there. I love this story.
Yeah.
I love the story. That's what I'm lacking right now. I need to find a mentor or someone like that along the lines of what I'm doing. There are a few people that do some of the things that I'm doing to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to collab with them more now, you know, pick their mind, see where they're at, see what they're doing. But I believe that mentorship and having a mentor is so beneficial and so important, especially, you know, when you're on this journey and there's so much to learn and to do that you don't even think about before you get started.
Yeah, that is very, very true. And I think mentorship in general, if you don't have a mentor right away, I learned everything on YouTube, and I started following people that think the same as me on YouTube. So let's say one of the most cliche examples, I would say, is probably Gary Vee. It's just his mindset is right for any type of business. And that was probably somebody that I would watch. I wouldn't watch every single video, but time to time I click on it and he says some crazy shit. And I'm like, yep, I agree. And then I move on with my life, you know, but it gives you that little like boost. And for people that don't have a mentor yet, I think it's good to look around and find one online. There's somebody out there that's thinking exactly like you, but you just haven't met him yet. And if you meet him and if you see his videos and you like the guy, they're just a button away from messaging, you know. To be like, hey man, I love your work, you know, this, that, that. Exactly how we did with Glenn.
Yeah.
And
you just got to reach out. That's it.
I feel like
all the good people, and you know, in your work and one of my work, what we're doing, they want to help. And the people who don't answer you and kind of ignore you, either they're too busy, they can't do it, or you don't want to be working with them. You know, they're not good people. I think. Like, I know I just launched this Alpha Omnia thing about a month ago, and I've had so much support coming from everywhere, you know, friends of friends, like literally every single avenue that you can think of. I've had support, and it's amazing like all this love, all this like, man, good job, you're doing great doing this, the texts, the calls, you know, and I'm lucky in that aspect, but yeah, definitely a mentor can definitely help. And I listen to Gary Vee a lot too. It's he's basically like my online mentor right now. He just doesn't know it, but he is awesome.
Yeah, no, he gives great advices, and he actually cares for people. So that's, I think it's key. And no, what you're doing is amazing too. Like, I think you're getting a lot of support and a lot of likes because you're doing what you want to do in life. And I think a lot of people acknowledge that because they also would love to do what you're doing. You know, be like, fuck, I quit everything. I'm going to do my dream. Who doesn't respect that? You know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a massive step.
It's a big journey. It's a long journey. How long have you been making music? You said you started when you were younger and now you've kind of transitioned into this new EDM phase.
Yeah, well, I've been doing music. Well, since fourth grade, I went to a music school, like music and theater school. So I was subconsciously trained because I didn't know that I'm going to use this skill in the future. And I was just doing music. They were training us. It was a very reputable music school. So I think I learned the theories. I can't read music anymore, and I don't know the theories, but they're engraved somewhere in the back of my head for some reason. And I think that helps. And then I haven't done music in a really long time. I was just trying to start some businesses, try things out. And kept failing. And then once I did enough failures, I was like, all right, let me get a 9-to-5 job just to recuperate. And during that 9-to-5 job, that's when I was like, I really want to do music. You know, I want to get back into it. So that was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And on a whim, I called my best friend. And I was like, yo, let's go to Best Buy. And we went to Best Buy. And he's like, what are we doing here? And I bought a piano. He's like, you don't play the piano. I'm like, I know. You know, I'm going to do it. And then I bought one. And well, you know, just to back up a little bit, actually, this is probably very, very important for work ethic's sake, is that I used to always have a small piano. And I used to always tell myself that I'm going to learn the piano. And I would start, you know, playing a little bit, and it would get a little bit hard. And when it would get hard, I would quit. So I had this piano sitting in my place for maybe a good 2-3 years, and I didn't do anything with it. Like, I tried, nothing comes out of it. And I just quit, and it just sat there. And then one day, I think maybe a year passed since I took that decision. And in that year, what led me to be like, fuck it, I'm going to go and get that piano, is because I think I realized that if I practiced every single day, it's been a year that passed, and as of today, I would have been really good. But I'm not even close to being good, and I don't even know how to play the piano. So that pissed me off a lot. I was really disappointed with myself, and that's what made me be like, you know what, I'm going to be committed to this piano. I'll learn it and then take it from there. So I took that, and I got addicted to it, and I didn't want to stop. And I learned how to play the piano. I learned music production, everything off YouTube, and trial and error myself. And yeah, so it's been 4 or 5 years that I'm producing electronic music.
Have you heard of David Goggins?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah. That's so David Goggins, he used to be like this fat guy, and then that, you know, really fat, couldn't swim, nothing, but he busted his ass, got in shape, became a Navy SEAL, and now he does like a bunch of crazy like endurance sports. But he stresses, do something that you hate every single day because it makes you better. So I kind of, when you say that about the piano, it's like, oh, I didn't play it, you know, because it was hard, I didn't like it. But then you force yourself to do it. It's like the same mindset. You need to do something that you don't like every single day to get something that you do eventually want. You know, you got to train your mind like that. You got to challenge yourself.
Absolutely. I think we're just programmed we're programmed to quit a little bit, but we can, if we challenge ourselves, there's great things that come out of it. Because everybody that I know that's trying to make it in this industry, not everybody, I'm sorry. Some people that are trying to make it in this industry, it's the exact same thing that I had back in the days where they want to make it, but they quit. They always quit, and it's easy to quit. And I understand them because I used to be like that too. And it used to be easy to quit. And what I tell them is like, look, just don't quit. Just keep going. And that's why I use the gym analogy a lot, is because going to the gym is the same thing. There's a lot of people who are like, all right, it's New Year's. I want to get in shape. But then, you know, it requires work. And it's like, oh, I got to go there every day. And a lot of people that, you know, that are in shape, what they're doing is that they don't always enjoy going, you know, but they force themselves because they know the results will come. It's the same thing about life. It's like that. You got to keep going because it's not fun. It's scary, but you got to keep going. You got to keep going because if you don't work, you don't get anything. You don't literally get nothing.
It's day by day, step by step. If you're in the gym, you know, set by set, rep by rep. If you're doing music, you know, beat by beat, just connecting with people. It's a, like we said earlier, it's a journey, and it's not an overnight success. You hear the overnight successes and everyone hopes that they're going to be it, but it's not going to happen to you. I'm sorry, but
exactly. And the overnight success did a lot of work before that. That's what people don't see. They think, oh, out of nowhere, you became an overnight success. No, man. It's like there was like 10 years of hard work. Like Portugal the Man became a success overnight with their song there. But if you look at their YouTube, nobody knew that they've been around for like 10 years. So they've been releasing music for 10 years and they sucked and they didn't go anywhere. Well, they sucked in, you know, it's subjective. But nothing came out of it. And then they dropped that commercial track. I think they did it with one of the members from Blink-182 or who's that other producer? I don't remember. Anyway, so one of those guys was like their track and he pushed them on the radio. And they got on the radio and overnight they became a success. So people look at them and a lot of my friends say that. They're like, oh, yeah, these guys became an overnight success. You can do it too. I'm like, no, they didn't become an overnight success. You got to look at what they did in the past, and they did a lot of work. Like, I think those guys, I respect them a lot because they never quit. It's been 10 years. Imagine that. You're making music for 10 years, and nothing's coming out of it.
It took them 10 years for that one song, and that one song would have never came if they didn't put the 10 years of work in. And I guarantee you, if we asked them, they'd say it was 100% worth it. We would have done it for 20 years. Like,
exactly. Absolutely. And I think even if they didn't get that track, they probably would have still been making music.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, of course. That's what they love. I feel like they probably just love the journey, love making music. And it's I love stories like that. And you're right. There really isn't overnight successes like that. There's talent that goes into it. Sometimes you do need a little bit of luck, you know, to push you forward. But for the most part, it's the hard work day by day, you know, hour by hour, just get up every morning. And before you go to bed at night, did I become a better person today? Did I do more? Did I benefit someone? Did I improve myself? You know, I think that's super important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you said luck, that, I think everything in life, there's a little bit of luck involved in it. And, what's his name? Mark Cuban and Barack Obama actually said that anybody that thinks that they did everything on their own is delusional, because everything requires a little bit of luck somewhere.
A little bit of luck and help and support from people. Even if you don't think you need it, you need it. You need to surround yourself with good people.
Absolutely. You can't do everything on your own. It's impossible. There's just too much work involved in, let's say, arts and entertainment in general. It's not a one-man show, you know? Like, Kevin Hart is not the only guy writing and the only guy, you know, doing all this stuff. He has a team behind him. All major artists have a team behind them. Podcasts, they have a team behind them, you know, writers and this and fetching content. And right now you're doing all of this on your own, but eventually you're going to get a team, you know, and you're going to be like, shit, find me that. And
that's the hope. That's the dream.
Yeah. But if you keep working at it, there's no reason for it not.
I understand. Yeah. But from where we're at right now, it's a little, you know, farther away. Oh, but really quick, thinking about the whole thing with the gym thing, you said like the New Year's Eve thing, the New Year's resolutions. I was thinking while you were saying that, like, no way it's ever going to work. New Year's happens in the winter. It's cold as hell outside. Like, why the hell would you want to be dragging your ass to the gym when it's so damn cold with so much snow outside? You know, you got to start in the summer, in the spring or something, when it's easier to get your ass to the gym and then fall in love with it. So when the winter months come along, you're like, all right, man, I just love doing this. This sacrifice is worth it. I feel like you have to put you have to set yourself up for success as well. You got to put yourself in positions to succeed and not in positions to fail.
Absolutely. And that, I literally was going to say the same thing right before that. Going out, like, that's, somebody told me that, like, in my other job, he was a sales manager, and he always said that when you talk with people or when you do anything, you have to put yourself in a position of success. So that means that every single tool you have in your possession, you have to perfect them, and you have to make sure that for you, you can use these tools properly. So like that, when an opportunity comes, you're not scrambling, being like, yeah. So that is absolutely right. You have to put yourself in a position of success. So you have to do the work. You have to do everything possible so that when that lucky break comes over, you're prepared. You have to be prepared for the lucky break because it will come. Everybody gets one. But are you prepared on that day? You know, on that day that it happens, what do you have? A good example of that would be that a lot of people come and they start talking, oh, yeah, I do music. I do this. I do that. I do that. Awesome. Can I hear anything? You have anything? No, it's coming. It's in my head, but I'll get it done. Oh, okay. You know, like, well, I don't want to work with you, you know?
That's why when I reached out to Patrick, I was a little nervous. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask him, but I don't have this podcast. I don't have nothing to show for it. And he's like, yeah. He asked me, he's like, where can I listen to this? You know, I want to see what's going on. I'm like, well, actually, we're launching next week. And if you don't feel comfortable mm-hmm. coming on next week, maybe I can reach back out in a couple weeks once we get a couple episodes in. He's like, oh, new project. I'd love to jump on. I'll do it. And I'm like, thank you so much, man. Thank you. So I was so
Patrick thankful. Loves startups.
Yeah.
He fucking adores that. He's like, you're starting up? I love it. Let's do it. There's something about that, like, starting from the bottom thing that he just loves. Like, and that's why I love working with this guy, man. It's so easy to work with him. He just makes things seem easy, but he just puts in a lot of work, even for my own stuff. Like the EP that we're dropping and everything, he's done probably right at this point. I only had to do the music and he did everything else. So helping me out with Spotify, helping me out with the artwork, helping me out with the logos, like literally everything, all the little dirty stuff and the visuals and the edited. So I'm like, damn, like I owe you a percentage.
Yeah. <know? laughs> But that's great because then that allows you to focus on music because that takes up so much time. I mean, it sounds like that's almost a full-time job for him. And then you're doing this full-time, you know, music, and you can't be doing it all by yourself. You need a team, and it's important.
Absolutely.
You guys are lucky you found each other. It sounds like a great duo over there. So
absolutely, man. Absolutely. I think myself every day. I'm like, fuck, if it wasn't for Pat, I know, and I tell him too. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be anywhere near this quickly. And we've only known each other for less than a year, maybe a year. And we've already accomplished, we've already finished finished four videos. Since then, like when we met each other, we were nobodies. He was somebody, I was a nobody. And then it just sort of happened everything so quickly because he gave me the tools and he helped out with a lot of things that I would have never had. So just producing for my high school idol, that's massive for me. I'm actually doing a lot of tracks in his album that's coming up soon. That already was a win for me. I was like, you know what? I made it in music. I didn't make millions of dollars, nothing. Like, I'm making music for an idol of mine. I win, you know? And just having that guy there is like, he's also, you know, like, very intelligent person, an intelligent human being. And he sees things rationally. And every single time we're in the studio, whether we're making music or not, I come out of there learning something. I know it sounds really cliche and bullshit, but I swear to God, every single time we're in that studio, we start talking about something or the industry or whatever it is, and then he just drops some knowledge and then he leaves, and you're like, cool, man.
That's cool. Great, yeah. Just they're just like, oh, yeah, this is how it's done, just leaves. Like, it's no big deal, and then it hits you like, damn, man, like, where did that come from? Where have you been hiding that?
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, he's definitely, Patrick definitely has some great assets to him, man. He's a very nice guy, man. He's a loyal guy and he's talented. I don't know. I can't say enough about this guy, not because he's helping me out, but it's more because like
it's a friendship.
I see him go and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It is a friendship. But this guy, what I love about him is he once told me this, and this was insane. I was like, this is why I fucking love you. He goes like, I don't want to have friends, you know? He's like, I don't have time for friends. I rather have friends that are doing the same thing as I am. So if I want to find a new friend, I want to find a new friend in my industry or a new friend somewhere around, you know, so that we're on the same page, we're doing the same things, we're doing the same goals. I want to be friends with you while we work. And I was like, I love that because we don't have time to go to a bar, especially, you know, right now when we're trying to release stuff. It requires a lot of work. So I spent hours and hours with Patrick. We still do 16, 18 hour days. Our wives hate us, but we do that, and it's true. And they think we're partying. We're like, nah, man, we're actually working.
We're in the studio. We're busting our asses. We're trying to make something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they think we're at the strip club, you know?
You guys are out at the strip club drinking beers, like taking shots.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, you guys are not working. We're like, I swear we're working. They pass by the studio, there's shitload of beers. We're like, well, the strippers left, so.
Yeah, the party just left. You guys are late.
Yeah.
But that's great.
And I love that. Yeah, I love that. It's find friends that you want to work with, because then, you know, the friendship will be stronger and you guys are pushing yourself for success.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Odious Love, I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing the progress of this. And I'll be a guest every time you need me, man.
Dude, I would love that. I hope we can do this in person sometime soon in the next couple months.
Absolutely.
But I really, really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. And I can't wait for the EP to drop. I'm excited for the music.
Nice. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah. Wishing you the best. From my mama. Hiding from my mama. I do my bang like a cold kid. That's the first line of the day. Max Payne. I'm a murder the day. Working like my mama who be working for the race. Yeah. I love your mama. A lot of people rapping. A lot of people talking. Nobody make it up. Take you to Chicago. They gon' put your G car. I bet you're not the kingpin that you say you are. Running on the highway, I need a red carpet on my driveway. I'm a monster, hurt a midway. Put your way, I do this shit my way. I need all your energy, I need you to believe. Heart, mind, body, and soul. I need all your energy, I need you to believe. Heart, mind, body, and soul. Go. I need all your energy, I need you to believe. Yo, medulla, I've been got it. Baby, fear the bounce, I got it from my mama. Fear the bounce, I got it from my mama. Someone bless me, I got the holy water. Feel it through your body, yo, medulla, I've been got it. Baby, fear the bounce, I got it from my mama. Got it from my mama, got it from my mama. Blood so big that they call me Big Pop. Outbreak kid, yeah, they call me Showstop. Big so big that my bitch got pop. White skinny kid, but they call me Don Don. This all me, I ain't get it from my father. If you thirsty, I got a holy water. Tell the streets, call the priest, tell your friends, tell your mama. I got a holy water. Hey, jig it to the beat like an info group in the sheets. I can do this all week. Love it so much, I do it for the free. When my heart feel the beat, it's like a new pair of Jordans just dropped in the streets. Running on the highway, I need a red carpet on my driveway. I'm a monster, hurt a midway. Put your way, I do this shit my way. I need all your energy, I need you to believe. Heart, mind, body, and soul. I need all your energy, I need you to believe. Heart, mind, body, and soul. I need all your energy, I need you to believe. Heart, mind, body, and soul. I need all your energy, I need you to believe.
Divine gift does not come from a higher power, from our own power.